Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for August the 1st, 2026. And I am humbly grateful for this question. Very few people have their courage to ask a question like this. And I don't know this person. His name is Gray. He does not tell me where he lives. And he wants to know what our true enemy really is. And he talks about it like what's the enemy within us and some of the things that Jesus talked about being an enemy, yada, yada, yada. There are many things in this one thing that make our enemy. And you're not going to like what you hear. You're not going to understand it because you've lived your life so much in it. You've pasteurized it, homogenized it, and made it seem okay and normal. It is the human heart. The human heart is the seat of all of my misunderstanding, my evil, my assumptions, presumptions about what is moral and right and wrong. It is very selective. It sends messages to my brain that tell me that I should be doing this and that and fighting for this and that. And these people are evil. These people are good. This kind of thing. It just goes on and on and on. So what is our true enemy? It is the human heart that generates the emotions that make what we think of as love. So let me give it to you in a way. My human heart is based and predicated in my genetic nature. Whatever my genetics were, my includes my ethnic background and as well as my gender. It lives in there and kind of, what do I want to say, homogenizes and gets all excited about what prospects of gratification I can find, maybe gratification in food, TV, social media, sex, booze. It doesn't really matter. It has, in the beginning, no sense of right and wrong, good and bad for any of us. It just sits there and it displays from the genetic heritage that I possess as a Gregory Edward from my parents, their parents, their parents, their parents, you know, that whole thing, and builds and builds and builds until I become only what my emotions will allow me to think. My emotions will generate all sorts of assumptions and presumptions, and it is only looking for gratification. Now, clinical psychologists and psychologists will say, no, that's not true. It's thoughts first, then emotion. But I have never found that to be true with myself. I've always found that emotions, even when I was a little boy, came first. And then after that was the afterthought of all of that. And that afterthought was something that influenced my mind to do things that maybe I wouldn't want to do, or maybe that I've never thought of doing. And those things predicated themselves into my behaviors. And some of them were not so good. Some of them were okay. And some of them were wonderful. It's a whole rainbow of emotionality and possibilities. Once this is realized, once you begin to see you are a slave to your emotions dictate to you everything, right, wrong, good, bad, and then they also dictate to you vengeance, pride, and anger. Now, the love that they have, as it were, is strictly fly by night. It's very flimsy. As long as someone is doing what I think gratifies me, fortifies me with excuses and any other thing I can, drum up within me, or they can drum up about me that gets me off the hook of what a, well, I'm just going to be honest, stupid person I can be. Then I like them. But if they call me on it, like I'm kind of doing now, calling us all on our emotions and identifying them for what they are, then we don't like that. Our emotions don't like that. And what they will do is they will go into the shame and guilt and hatred and excuses and alibis and all sorts of things that build prejudice. People who are deeply prejudiced, and we all are to a certain degree, we don't know why we are. We just are the way we are. That's what people will say. This is just the way I am. But it is really inherited. You and I, if we do not find consciousness, if we do not come to a place where we attain to consciousness, all we will do is live by our emotions. And those emotions don't really belong to us. They belong to our forefathers. They also belong to our body. And if you want to live a body life, a life bodily suggestive of hate and anger and vengeance and pride and all the other stuff that we like, then you've got the right thing. It is the seat of my ego. But when you go against your emotions by no longer allowing them to dictate to you the state of your being, now get what I said, state of your being, not the state of your mind, because you and I, well, for the most part, people are too far gone to be able to do anything about their mind. Their mind is set. Your mind is set. You have little things you will change here and there, but you won't change things too far, because if you do, your emotions will pop up. I'll never forget watching a YouTube thing where they were interviewing people about why they like Trump. And this one guy said, well, they were having an argument. I was just watching this on YouTube, that Trump was a pedophile, la, 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 whatever. And this lady said, I'd rather have a pedophile as president than a Democrat. Now, you're not going to change her mind. And I'm not being political here. I'm just telling you what I heard and what I saw. This kind of thing is ugly. And it dictates to us a great deal of pride and vanity. People like to believe that they are solid people. They never change. What is the old Christian saying? Jesus Christ, now, then, and forever, the same. That's just evil. We are evil, not because we're evil, but because we're prone to it, because our emotionality really enjoys this kind of thing. So there is nothing I can say to change a person's mind. You either have the awareness of the human heart and its cunning, or you don't. And if you don't, then you're subject to it, and that cunningness will come back to eat you up. But if you understand it and you don't trust your emotions, you start to build third person, stepping back, stepping back, stepping back, away from the whole idea of what you think and what you believe and what is right and wrong. When you can step back from all of that and build the witness, the observer, the watcher, then you will see, Gray, then you will see how things work, the way they work, what is true and what is not true. You will start to realize, my God, I have lived a very, very foolish existence trying to make myself believe what my emotions are purporting to me. And you don't even know where your proportions come from, your emotions. You don't know. You have no idea how emotional you really are and why you are the way you are in your emotions. So with all that being said, that opens up a whole keg of stuff. And we won't get into that today, but it's the essence of my work with people. Anyway, thank you, Gray, for your wonderful question. You're very insightful, and I am honored that you listen. Thank you all for listening as well. Please forgive me, and I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Namaste.